Last week, I also mentioned some things about the calendar. So just to go back to that, since I just pointed out that it's complicated, it is the year 2020 coming to an end in the Gregorian calendar. It is the year 5781 today on the Hebrew calendar. It is the year 1442 in the Muslim calendar. It is the year 2564 on the Buddhist calendar. It is the year 1737 on the Coptic calendar in Egypt. And on the Chinese calendar, it is either the year 4717 or the year 4657, depending on which version of the calendar you use. Calendars are more complicated than you might think, because there's a lot of them. And there are a lot of different ways to record the passage of time. So, top left, Julius Caesar. This is the only bust of Julius Caesar that was made from life while he was still alive. So it is likely that that is what Julius Caesar looked like. Right side is Pope Gregory XIII, and the lower left is the ancient Roman calendar. And one of the things that should strike you about the ancient Roman calendar is it has mostly letters and not numbers to define the dates. And that's not, the Romans used Roman numerals. No, there are some Roman numerals down at the bottom, but it's actually letters that define the days in the ancient Roman calendar. So the ancient Roman calendar, the ancient Romans started with a 10-month, 304-day year, and then they added time in the winter to make up the rest of the year. The 304 days wasn't enough, but the winter was cold and dark and boring, and so they really didn't count those days for a long time. And so March was the first month of the year and December the last month, and in between there was just winter. Some of you feel the same way about January and February today. That it's just winter and it's not really days. In any case, for a long time, the Romans really didn't pay any attention to January and February. You just survived that. But in the ancient Roman calendar, months had either 30 or 31 days. And months that had 31 days were called full months. And months that had 30 days were called hollow months. So the Roman Republic started to bring in some Greek practices, assuming a solar year of 368¾ days. Which isn't quite right, but it's getting closer. And that there should be 12 months of 29 or 31 days. And in order to do the things that we do with leap year now, they added a month after February in alternate years. So that in odd-numbered years, the year was 355 days long. And in even-numbered years, it was either 382 or 383 days long and had 13 months because you've got a bonus month between February and March. In any case, the Romans... The reason why there's letters on the calendar instead of numbers is the Romans did not use the first, the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth, the seventh, all the way to the 30th of the month. They didn't use those numbers. There were 3 days each month that you paid attention to. The first day of the month was called the calends, a word from which we get calendar, right? The first day of the month was called the calends. It was the day the debts were due. And the second half of the preceding month was a countdown to the calends of the next month. So if it was a 31-day month, on the 20th, you were the 11th of calends of the next month. And the next day, you were the 10th of calends of the next month. And then the 9th of Kalend, so the next month. So that was how the back end of the calendar worked. The seventh day of a full month, that is the seventh day of a month that had 31 days, or the fifth day of a hollow month, that is a month that had 29 or 30 days, was called the Nones. And so once you got to the Kalends, the first day of the month, on the second day of the month, you were counting down to the Nones. And once you got to the Nones, you started counting down to the, and you know this one, the Ides. Because the Ides was the 15th day of a full month or the 13th day of a hollow month. And so on the first day of the month, it was the Kalends, and then you counted down to the Nones, and then you counted down to the Ides, and then you had most of 2 weeks to count down to the Kalends of the next month. Do you like your calendar better, by the way? Writing a check under your system is much easier, right? And, by the way, the day before the Kalends, the day before the Nones, and the day before the Ides was the eve of those. And so every month you had three eves. And you'll notice on this ancient Roman calendar, there are all these other letters. The letters are signatories. The Romans went through a long process of defining each day's meaning and significance. So some days were considered lucky or unlucky because of numeric factors and other factors. Some days were permissible or impermissible to hold public assemblies, to initiate court actions. Some days were reserved for festivals of one sort or another. And so the calendar had a code that went with it that defined what kind of stuff you could do on the various days of the month, each month. And that's why you needed all the letter identifiers. In any case, there was a political appointee, there was a public official whose job it was to decide how many days needed to be added to the calendar every year to keep the calendar aligned with the rotation of the earth around the sun. This is a political appointed position. So, if you were the political appointee and you liked who was running the government, you usually added a lot of extra days that year. And if you were the political appointee who controlled the calendar and you didn't like who was in charge, you usually didn't add any extra days to the year. Abuses by politicians go way back, right? But the political appointee who controlled the calendar decided when there would be an extra month between February and March and how long it would be and whether any extra days would be added to the calendar each year. As a result, over time, the calendar lost touch with the rotation of the seasons. And so when Julius Caesar came to power, one of the things that he wanted to do was straighten out the calendar. The years leading to Caesar becoming, Julius becoming the Caesar were called in Rome the years of confusion. Part of the problem being that when somebody in Rome is making a decision about the calendar, how do the people in Alexandria and Antioch and Jerusalem and in Spain know what day it is? How do they keep up with the changes when they have to be carried by courier over hundreds of miles? And so the calendar had drifted a good bit by the time that Julius Caesar seized power. And in 46 B.C., Julius Caesar directed, based on consulting with the experts, that Rome move to a 365-day year with a leap day every fourth year. Should sound pretty familiar. And that was pretty closely matching the solar year. After Julius was murdered, when he was assassinated, the fifth month of the year, remembering that March was at the time the first month of the year, which was called Quintilis, five, was renamed for Julius Caesar and became July. And later, the sixth month of the year, still counting from March, Sextilis was renamed after Augustus Caesar, August. And so we have two Caesars in our calendar today. So that established the 12 months that we know. Later, January became the first month of the year rather than March. But March was the first month of the year because it was when the spring equinox happened. And so it was a time of planting. It was a time of beginning. And so this was symbolic to the ancients. So Julius Caesar, the Julian calendar, it was called, established the 12 months that we know. It established that April, June, September, and November would have 30 days, that February would have 28 or 29th in the fourth year, and all the others would have 31 days. So Julius Caesar gave us all that sort of stuff. In order to make this calendar work, he lengthened by decree for the year 46 B.C. to 445 days long. In order to get the calendar back in alignment with the rotation of the earth around the sun. So he needed to throw in an extra bonus 80 days in order to make this work, or 60 days rather. No, 80 days, I'm sorry. The problem with the Julian calendar is it gains a day every 128 years, which probably didn't seem like a big deal to Julius Caesar. I mean, that probably seemed like that was pretty awfully close. And somebody else could solve that problem. Pope Gregory the 13th, who served between 1572 and 1585, in 1582 confronted the fact that the Julian calendar was now 10 days out of cycle with the seasons, with the solar process. So he created a year that averages 365.2425 days long. The problem with the initial Gregorian calendar, of course, is that the actual year is 365.22 days long. So he still wasn't quite right, still needed some adjustment, but he established that leap years would happen in years divisible by four, but not those divisible by 100, unless they are divisible by 400, which is a rule that we still live by. In both Julius Caesar and Pope Gregory, neither one of them made these decisions on their own. In both cases, they consulted astronomers, they consulted a variety of experts, they brought people in who said, this is the way the Earth orbits around the sun, or this is the way the year works. And so so these two guys, their names are on these calendars, Julian and Gregorian, but they didn't actually do the heavy lifting of the thinking about this. They were just the guys that said, I'm imposing this solution. Now, Gregory's challenge here is, first of all, Gregory decided that that they were off by at least 10 days or maybe 11 days. And so he decided that in 1582, October 4th would be followed the next morning by October 15th. And so in 1582, he said, there will be no October 5th through the 14th. You will go to sleep after October 4th and wake up the next morning, and it will be October 15th. And I direct that it will be so. Except he was the Pope, not the Emperor. And so he instituted the Gregorian calendar by a papal bull. The Pope says, well, in 1582, how did that play in Germany, where most of the people were Lutherans, and in England, where people were into the Church of England? Not so well, right? Basically, only Catholic areas adopted the Gregorian calendar in 1582 or in the years following. It was rejected by most Protestants. The Gregorian calendar was not adopted in England and in the American colonies in which we live until 1752. In Greece, the Gregorian calendar was finally adopted in 1923, in Turkey in 1926, and in Saudi Arabia in 2016. So, the Gregorian calendar is the preeminent calendar in the world. It's the world's, the calendar that by which most things in the world, most civil things, most business things are tracked and kept, that most everybody uses. But that's been a fairly long time coming. That's been a long process. So, and of course, the thing about the calendar is there's two ways of approaching the calendar. The solar calendar is the calendar that is tied to the Earth's orbit around the sun, to the seasons, to the winter solstice and the summer solstice and the equinoxes in the spring and the fall, which you can observe. You can see those in the sky, right? And so a solar calendar, which is what the Gregorian calendar is tied to the Earth's rotation around the sun, that orbit. And so the solar cycle being 365.22 days long, the question is, how do you get there? So, but that's not the only way to build a calendar. There's another very popular way to build a calendar, and that is a lunar calendar. And a lunar calendar is based on the phases of the moon, observing the moon. And the moon goes through a cycle from full to moon to full to new to full that takes about 29 and a half days. If you're counting, it takes 29 days, 12 hours, 44 minutes, and 3 seconds. That's 1 month on a lunar calendar. And so there's a lot of lunar calendars that also have 12 months because you get 12, maybe 13 cycles of the moon out of a solar year. And so even today, many calendars have the lunar cycle on them. When's the full moon? When's the new moon? When's the the lunar cycle is important, and it's still used very much in all kinds of religious calendars. The official Muslim calendar, the reason that Saudi Arabia didn't adopt the Gregorian calendar until 2016 was they lived by the Muslim calendar, which is a lunar calendar. And it's a lunar calendar that is not tied to the seasons. It does not have adjustments. So the Muslim lunar calendar, the months migrate through what we perceive to be the year, which is why, when's Ramadan? You got to look it up because it's always different than last year. Ramadan migrates because it's on the lunar cycle, not on the solar cycle. We tend to think in terms of the solar cycle. But a lunar calendar doesn't do that. When's Chinese New Year? You probably have to go look that up, too, because it's on the lunar cycle. Now, it's on a lunar cycle corrected, so it doesn't migrate through the year, but it means it comes up on different days every year. So lunar cycles, Buddhist and Hindu calendars are lunar cycles, and of course the ancient Jewish calendar is a lunar calendar, which is why there are so many arguments about the date of Easter, because Easter is tied to Passover. And Passover is tied to the lunar calendar, not the solar calendar. So we'll come back and talk about that at some point in the future, I think. But But many lunar calendars have become functionally what people call a lunisolar calendar. That is, they are lunar calendars that are that have solar adjustments to them over time to keep things from moving around the year too much. For the record, traditionally Easter is the first Sunday after the first full moon after the spring equinox. And in the Eastern Church, Easter is almost always a week later than it is in the Western Church because of the way that gets calculated. So Easter is celebrated on different days in different parts of the world. So anyway, just a few things about calendar stuff. But keeping time is actually complicated.